Welcome to the Passive Aggressive Podcast, everyone. I'm comedian Bobby Haha. We got to my left comedian Ben Rosenfeld, and in the middle, a special guest from Germany, one of Germany's top comedians, Eddie Kesser. Eddie.
How you doing? Thank you. Thank you. How you doing? How you doing, Bobby Haha?
All right.
You don't sound very German, Eddie.
I don't. Well, I was born here in America.
He was born and raised here.
I was born and raised here. You know, I went to Germany, you know, during the service, and then before I got into comedy and all that stuff, and then all of a sudden, you know,
we gotta talk louder.
I got to move closer. I can talk loud now. I don't need to be up on, you know, that close on the mic.
You gotta talk a little.
This mic, you want to be a little closer.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Unless you got my voice.
What? Yeah, we make talk. Bobby always yells.
So I scream when I talk, so I have to sit back here. And but you talk regular.
Oh, you want me to scream when I talk?
We
can scream if you want.
We already have one psychopath on the show. Okay, we don't need two. If you're not Bobby, we just have people move up a little.
Okay, I'll just move up. I'm not Bobby. Bobby's special.
Yeah, Bobby's missing.
So you're a childhood friend of Bobby's.
I'm a childhood friend. I'm not going to say childhood. We're close. We're almost that close.
For 30-something years.
For 30-something years.
We've been friends for over 30 years.
Over 30 years, yeah.
Over 30 years. I know his family very well. Right. He knows my wife and children when I was married. And I know his mother and brother. His sister's passed. Just like my sister just passed also. And but we know each other's families very well, too. Like, his mother's the best. I used to go see his mother all the time. She's the nicest woman in the world.
Thank you.
She's the best.
She's still around.
Yeah, I just talked to her last night. I couldn't believe it. Because I haven't talked to her. I called a few times. Yeah, for some reason, I didn't get a hold of her. But she's the best. But why did you don't like the United States anymore?
Well, I stopped the United States. I mean, you know, there are a lot of benefits.
Don't worry, I don't like it either.
I mean, there's a lot of benefits. There's a lot of things you go to Europe for. And you know, you get to go out there and you realize what America done. Fucked up the whole world, and you know,
right?
And those are the little things you don't realize until you come back to America.
Plus, Germany has those better blood transfusions for like Kobe's knees.
Yeah, that's the other thing.
What do you feel about socialized medicine? This is something socialized I want to know. This is a new show, actually.
Socialized medicine. It's the socialized medicine is a really good idea, but I mean, you know, you people don't have it over here in America.
That's what I'm saying. Does it work over there?
It does work over there because everyone is covered. You know, everybody's financially covered in the AIDS process, and no matter what sickness you have, you're always covered. Right. You know, there are no street people other than the people that want to live on the streets.
Right.
In Europe.
And they're still covered.
You know, you don't have to live on the streets in Germany.
Right.
You know, because you will be taken care of. Everyone is taken care of. You know, if you want to live on the streets, it's because you want to live on the streets.
Right. And some people have mental problems, they can't help it.
Even if they have mental problems.
No, but some of them can't be around other people, so that's why they live on the streets.
Yeah, no.
Because they're paranoid, schizophrenic.
They have places for people like that. They have everything is covered. You know,
That's good. See, I a lot of people I know live in Europe, and of course yourself, tell me the same thing. Socialized medicine works.
Socialized medicine, yeah. I think
we should have the here in the United States.
Well, one reason it works easier over there is medical school is not as expensive. Because what happens is you already build in incentive issues. Where here, once you become a doctor, you're $500,000 in debt.
I understand. It's also, Ben, so they can do the same thing here.
Right. But I'm saying they can't. It's not just socialism.
Now they're taking away
the United States. The education to make the doctors not billions of dollars in the hole.
In the debt. Well, you get. Yeah,
well, first of all, what they have to do in this country is get rid of the Federal Reserve.
And privatize.
No, because.
You know what the problem is? The bank.
That is the problem. This country would not be in debt right now if it wasn't for the Federal Reserve. They destroyed not only this country, the whole world. Those same bankers, the Rothschilds, the Rockefellers, all those people. And we have another guest from Germany here, sir. And she even just gave me a high five because of that. She knows.
4 minutes in, we're in Bobby's first conspiracy of the day. Notice I didn't even say theory anymore, Bobby. I just said your conspiracy.
Conspiracy of the day.
Right, because it's not a theory. It's not open fact.
If you're going
to
say the Federal
Reserve. You're loaning money to the Federal Reserve is privatized banks that are loaning money to the United States at high interest rates. And raping the country. The same year, 1913, is
America rapes everyone else.
No, but when they came up with the Federal Reserve in 1913, the same year they also came up with the IRS to tax people to pay for the interest on the Federal Reserve. Why don't we just borrow money from ourselves? We're the government. We can print the money. Why do we need these judges who don't even print the money?
Thank you. That's really what you really need to do.
It's all done by computer. There's no printed money. There's no gold. There's nothing now.
There was no computer in 1913, Bobby.
Okay, listen. But here's what I'm saying.
But
they knew when they did it, they sold out to these private bankers. because they had influence over the politicians because they paid them money, playing like they still do.
Well, some of the politicians used to be private bankers, and some of the politicians become private bankers.
Well, it's not working for the banks, so they give them that incentive by voting for the bills to keep them in power. They should get rid of the whole entire Senate, Congress, and the president, and everyone, and say, here, this is what's going to happen.
And make you emperor?
No emperor. I don't believe in none of that kind of thing. I'm an idiot. Well, I don't want to rule anyone.
You can come back to Germany with me if you want to become an emperor.
I'm not going over there.
I Hitler to you.
They're all that shit over there. Ben, why don't you go over there? You're Jewish. Don't
are you Jewish?
Yeah.
Oh, she's German.
I'm
from Germany, but she's German.
Yeah, my grandparents live in Hanover.
So how was the comedy scene in Germany? That's what we want to know.
The comedy scene. Well, what do you need?
Where in Germany do you live? What city?
Kassel. That's almost about 150, 200 kilometers from Frankfurt.
North.
Hanover's not too far from us either, you know. Okay. If you're in Hanover. That's where your family is in Hanover?
Yeah, grandparents.
Okay. Well, we're in Kassel. Kassel, you know, Hanover's...
It's not too far.
It's not too far from Hanover.
You got an Autobahn there in 15 seconds.
There you go. In 30 minutes, you're in Hanover. Nice. Or 35, 45 minutes.
So how's the comedy in Kassel?
The comedy in Kassel is no comedy in Kassel.
You are the comedy in Kassel.
I mean, you know, I used to be the comedy in Kassel because now I live there, you know, and I'm stabilized there. But if you want to get into the comedy, you have to go out of Kassel. You got to go to a big city. You got to get München,
Munich.
Munich is a good city. Frankfurt is not that much. You got to go to Cologne.
But Munich is the only place you told me that
has English comedy.
English comedy.
Even Berlin.
Berlin is starting to get that now.
Okay.
Berlin is just starting to get it now.
Berlina.
You know, it's been on the Berlina.
The Deutschland.
From Kennedy.
I know some guys. I call them from the United States. There's a place called Deutschland. Not Deutschland. Deutschland is Germany. Deutschland is in New Jersey.
I thought Deutschland's one of those bathhouses you go to.
No, Deutschland is in New Jersey. It's where Governor Chris Christie comes from.
I don't even want to say Christopher Street, but I mean Deutschland, you know.
No, Deutschland is Chris Christie. The governor from New Jersey.
Okay, that's the new
that animal.
Okay.
That piece of crap.
Deutsch Village, okay. Isn't he supposed to go for mayor, or is he supposed to be going for...
President.
No, he's not going to go for the president. He cannot win a national election.
He's too corrupt. Already.
He is such a low-life piece of crap that first of all, he's ruining everything in New Jersey now. The pensions for the fire, police...
They had that ruling.
Okay, well...
They had the ruling yesterday, Bobby.
He has to put back $1.57 billion back into the retirement fund, which he raided.
Right, which he can't claim to be good at managing the budget.
He's full of shit. Exactly. He's stealing money from the pensions of the police, firemen, and school teachers.
Oh, he's doing that job. Okay.
Yeah, he's a piece of crapola. My daughter, first of all, my son-in-law is a police officer. My daughter's a school teacher. And he's robbing both of them. You Democrats got to get out and vote.
Who's voting for this guy? I mean,
these idiots. First of all, any person who is under making $100,000 a year and votes Republican is an idiot, because all they're going to do is keep stealing their money.
Okay.
And making it bad for only the rich get richer. So if you're rich, yeah, I would vote Republican too if I was rich. But since I'm poor and I like free stuff,
at least as far as your tax returns say.
Listen, we're not talking about that because I don't make any...
You have to make up $100,000 to get something back, huh?
No, to be on the Republicans where even at $250,000, even $100,000 is a little too low because my daughter makes over that and her husband. But each. But no, but...
For a teacher?
Yeah, they go up to
$100,000.
Top salary for teacher in New Jersey. After you're tenured and everything, there is tenure after 12 years. She's been over 12 years, my daughter. She's not a young kid anymore.
Right.
And her husband is a New Jersey police officer. And he does a lot of overtime because of his special unit.
Okay.
So he's guaranteed a certain amount a year, like $150 a year.
Okay.
Because of he's working overtime constantly. And he's a great police officer who received the Medal of Honor twice. How about
seems
that?
Are the teachers
no,
here?
No, it's not odd. When
high,
you have,
high. It seems a bit high.
No, it's not, because you got to remember this. They have to put that in their overtime. They guarantee the $150 a year because half the time they're in the back of a van looking out of a little peephole with a camera investigating people for hours and hours. Right. They got to pee the thing.
But you know guys that do that for free, Bobby.
Yeah, but he's actually a great detective. He's an honest guy. He's the most honest police officer I ever met. I mean, he's really honest all the way. They did an investigation on him because they didn't like him because he was too honest. And he said something about it. And they came up with the investigation with nothing. So they said, oh, we can't mess with this guy. Because he is honest. He won't take a dime for nothing. He's an honest, decent human being. That's why my daughter married him. She's good, too.
Are the teachers here considered something like
like shit.
No, because you're
now they're trying to take away from
you're at a different level when you're a teacher. You know, if you're a teacher, you in Germany, if you're a teacher, you have
the chief respect.
You have a certain right. You have it. You're at a different level.
Not here.
You know,
they don't treat the teachers here like that.
You're like how can I say this word, man? Not like a doctor, you know. You often listen to deans like a government worker.
Right. Yeah, it's a government
an official. It's an official worker. You know, you're at a certain level when you're a teacher, so you have a certain degree as a teacher, and you have that in Germany. I don't know if you have it over
no,
here.
No,
teachers have a certain degree.
Oh, like a master's
education.
Oh, she has.
They have. No, but they are considered that from the beginning. As soon as you get into the teachers.
It's like being tenured. But they stop tenure here.
Okay.
Because now they're getting into if you don't produce, you're getting fired.
Okay.
But here's the deal about the test score.
The kids are stupid. The parents are
stupid. No, here's the thing. My daughter teaches special ed. She's dealing with children that aren't going to go up in test scores because some of them, they have problems that you're just keeping them going day by day to see what you can do for them. And she's a really caring person who cares about the kids. But
You have another level because you're not a teacher. You're like a social worker on top of that. And then you have to be...
But they don't get that respect in Jersey.
Right, okay.
Because Christie tries to take all the money away.
Well, that's what you have over there. You know, you have a certain level and then you're like...
Well, Finland, I think, is the most respected of any place in the world when it comes to teachers.
Yeah, and what have they done with the world?
Well, I'll tell you what. They have the highest scores of any schools in the world.
Yeah,
they're number one.
And then name one Finnish scientist that won a Nobel Prize.
Oh, there's five or six of them.
Name them.
Charpentier.
All right. I don't know if that's true.
I have no idea.
No, Charpentier won, but there's quite a few.
Finland guy.
I'll bet you there's quite a few. I only know one offhand, but I've heard of quite a few.
He can mention all these guys, and I'm like, you're right.
He said it confidently.
Well, can I tell you something? I never heard of a Charpentier, but I say everything confidently and quickly. That's how I would argue, because I'm a debater. I like to debate.
You're debating,
but we know facts, but he knows delivery.
I got the good delivery. I'm fast, and I come out with it quick, and I had to give one name.
I had a point. He stopped me in my track. I thought I was going
to... And then to make it look good, I said, well, that's the only one I know. I know none. But of course, there's got to be some.
And then he said five or six.
Me thinking.
Well, it's like percentages. Well, 96% of people do this and that. I'm just making up these numbers, but if you say it confidently enough and quickly, the people believe it.
My main point, though, Bobby, was good test scores don't lead to big results.
But they have the best educational system in the world. Right. Theirs is number one in math and science. Number two is South Korea. So, and the reason why is they put their teachers... So to get to be a teacher, you have to be in the top 10% to go to the universities. The top universities, only the top 10% of people can get into being a teacher there.
Sure, here's my point, Bobby. Let me finish. I'm not disputing those are the best educational systems in the world, but then if you look at the output of who's created the most stuff that the world uses, I don't think Finland...
Chinese, India, America. She said it. She says she's Indian. People say, well, you're so smart because she's Indian. She said, no, because her parents beat her. That's why she's so smart.
The point is, though, like, the iPhone engineers, why are so many startups in San Francisco? It's not because the educational system's the best. It's because there's other factors involved as well.
Right, I understand. Okay, what other news topics do we have coming up for this week, Ben?
Do you see how whenever I make a point against Bobby,
he's just trying to change the subject? You know, I don't blame
him. It's a debating tactic that I use well.
Speaking of hardball debating tactics, ISIS has taken 70 to 100 hostages, mostly Christians, Syria.
Feed them to the lions.
The hostages?
ISIS is phony. The CIA created ISIS. So they did create it. They gave them those 15 weapons.
Minutes in, conspiracy number two, just for the biggest
They wanted this. You know why? That's why the people, they did chop off a few heads, 70 of 100 heads, which is no big deal. Right. They do that in Africa every day.
Yeah,
and no one says shit about it.
No, they don't.
Okay, because they got the oil over there.
Because they have the oil. There you go.
The reason why this is being done is because Boko Haram kills a lot more people. They killed a thousand in one village. That wasn't even on the news. It's not even on the news here.
That's true.
Here's the deal. What happens? Because I watch everything. Here's what goes on. The CIA gets these people and gives them those. All of a sudden, they came up with 40,000 guys stole all these tanks and trucks.
Right.
We got satellites 24 hours a day watching them. In the worst part of the world, no one saw this. You can tell me, because we gave it to them so they could do that, so we could get permission to drink the Jones them to death, and then we steal other people's shit.
They were supposed to go
and
take Syria.
I'm not against that. Listen to what I'm trying to tell you. They were supposed to get Syria out.
Yeah, but they were Azad. They were supposed to go for Azad, but they went on their own. They went on their own.
And that's why it's got out of hand. But here's the thing of it. The United States does all this shit. But I'm happy because I live in the United States. I don't live in those other countries. If I lived in those other countries, I'd be mad at the United States. Instead, I'm happy because I drive a Ford Expedition, and
you can fucking waste all that gas. You leave all the lights on.
Right.
You fucking waste so much energy in this fucking country.
Right.
You know, and that's the reason.
I'm proud to be an American.
Yeah, everybody's proud to be an American when you can do that. You know,
right.
When you go to all
those
other countries and you see them, the only country that's lit up is America.
Well, Germany has the one city that is totally uses the
solar. Everybody's using solar, other than Germany, America.
But I'm saying
everyone's using that other than America.
Yeah, right. You also got all those windmills.
Windmills. That's all.
But there's like a train in Europe. You just see windmill after windmill because
that's energy,
right? And it's free.
Yeah, it's free.
Well, marginal cost.
But here we got to pay a lot of money because. What happens is the government, which is controlled by the banks, who control the corporations. The people need the corporations.
Conspiracy number three.
So this is fact. The corporations owe money to the banks. Everyone owes the bankers money. They control everything, and then it trickles to the corporations, and then to the government, and then to everything else. Just like I think it was Meyer Rothschild who once said, "I don't care who's on the throne of England." Who controls the money controls
the power.
The country, everything. Yeah. And I control the money.
Joseph Stalin once said, he who casts the vote decides nothing, he who counts the vote decides everything.
Right, and here's another thing about Stalin.
I should have done it in accent, I'm sorry.
That's my mistake.
He's technically Georgian, so I did not want to get wrong the accent.
Yes, he's Georgian, yes. But I like Marx. I'm a Marxist.
Next topic.
I'm not a John Leninist. I'm a Groucho Marxist.
Oh, the Marxist. Okay.
I'm a Groucho Marxist.
I'm a Groucho Marxist.
Right. This is just John Leninist.
It's just Leninist.
We don't get along.
Next topic. Bill O'Reilly is in a feud with a New York Times reporter for calling out his war reporting discrepancies. Apparently, Bill O'Reilly, shocker, had recollection issues, kind of like Brian Williams, but he's not getting suspended because
Fox News is they all just lie and lie and lie and lie and lie. Fox News is owned by the Murdochs, who were controlled by the Rothschilds and control the banks. What else do you want? They own Reuters and Associated Press.
Is that a conspiracy?
Banks. It's a conspiracy.
Who owns Reuters and Associated Press?
One family. They put out all the news.
We got to rename this to the Conspiracy Podcast.
That's what we're going to do.
What are your thoughts on it, Eddie? Bill O'Reilly's thing.
Bill O'Reilly. I'm not even to that topic because I just got here about 3 days ago. I didn't get to read and hear about
some New York Times reporter wrote up that
he's a POS.
He falsified. He said he's been in a war zone where like hundreds of people he saw get killed.
Yeah, okay.
And the New York Times did some research where that's not really true.
Of course, he's full of shit. Like Brian Williams,
full of shit.
They're all full of shit. These guys.
I mean, it's easy to say that if you're watching a movie. You know what I'm saying? Nowadays, you watch a movie and you say you were in it.
Yeah.
You know, because there's so much things, so many things going on. And you
like
don't
Betty
really
tells everybody, he was the gift in Pulp Fiction.
You know, you don't really have to be there. You watch the movie and you say, you know, hey, it's like that new movie that came out, The Sniper, where you see, you know,
American Sniper.
Right. Where you watch the movie and you think it's a real kid and it's a baby and it's a fucking toy.
Right.
Did you see that part?
I didn't see the movie.
I haven't seen the
movie. We don't go to the movies to watch.
It's the Clint Eastwood thing.
No, but I'm saying, me and Ben, we know what the movie is. I know who Kyle is. But here's the deal. Chris Kyle even said it. The greatest marksman of all time, it's not even close, was Carlos Hathcock, who was the most psycho motherfucker. He was a Marine too. Gunnery Sergeant Hathcock, who crawled for 4 days in North Vietnam without a spotter or anything, before they ever had anything. 4 days he crawled on a suicide mission. Mm-hmm. And then he had to pick out who the general was. He don't know who this guy is. Right. So he saw a guy pointing. He said, well, generals love to point. And people listen to him. They're running in a different direction. Well, he's pointing. He said, I thought he was a general. He's 700 yards away. Crawled for 4 days. No eating, no drinking, no nothing. Vietnamese actually one step on his arm, he said. He made a shot from 700 yards away. Caught him right in his heart. Killed the guy. Now, he's in an open field. But he was in a ghillie suit. So you can't actually, he was actually part of that grass. He crawled for four days because he had to do it like this. It was so methodic. This guy was so focused. So they thought it came from the other side. Well, the trees were, they all, the Vietnamese, turned their fire on those woods. And he escaped and lived. He ended up dying of cancer a few years back. But you talk about a sick dude.
Sorry about it.
No, if you look at his interviews, Chris Kyle, he'll tell you, the greatest sniper of all time, even close, was Carlos Hathcock. Okay. He had 80 confirmed kills. But they said he killed over 1,000. He even said it. He killed over 1,000. He just killed everybody. And he laughed about it. He was a nut. That he used to go like this to the enemy. Like, in Vietnam, he used to go, na-na-na-na-na-na. He's the one that also made this shot. He hit another great sniper. Another Vietnamese sniper, who he said was very good. He hit the guy in his scope. And it went right through the guy's eyeball and killed him.
That's an awesome movie shot.
This is a fact, Ben. It's a movie fact. It was in a movie. Go look it up online.
I'm not telling you you're wrong. I'm just telling you I could see that in a movie.
It
must have been a movie.
Afterwards. But this is a true fact of what this guy did. But the greatest, to me, the greatest shot ever had to be, here's a guy who crawled. This is proven fact for 4 days. In an open field with a ghillie suit on, in that hot, humid weather, with no food or water. He could never pick his head up. Because if he even picked his head up, and they didn't know he was that grass, because there was machine gun that's all around him. He was in North Vietnam.
They're
like most entrenched area. It was a suicide mission, and he only had 3 days left in the Marine Corps. They was going to go home. He said, no, none of my men can make this shot. Well, I don't want to let them go die. He goes, I'll die. And he took that suicide mission on and lived. This is the greatest sniper that has ever walked the face of this earth. And there's stories about him that go on and on. If you go look at the specials, they have it. So our audience out there, go look up Carlos Hathcock, the greatest sniper who ever lived.
Also a great porn star name.
No, the best porn star name ever is, I have a friend of mine. He's a producer. A really movie producer. He made New Jack City. His name is James Bigwood.
That's a pretty strong name.
And you're a movie producer. How about being a movie and TV producer and your name is Bigwood?
I guess Hathcock's good if you're like the twink in a movie.
Hathcock.
That's what you said the guy's name was.
Hathcock.
Yeah, I guess that's a better porn star name if you're like the
twink. No, because it sounds like Hathcock.
Right.
Even though it's not Hathcock, H-A-T-H.
Hathcock walked Eddie's friend.
No. No, I'm glad she left a second because, here, let's talk about Eddie a minute. Years ago, when we used to hang out, like we were talking about Studio 54 last week.
here we go.
We used to hang out together in studio and everything. Eddie, I knew as soon as he called me, I said, oh, you said, I'm with my new girlfriend from Germany. I says, yeah. I says, I bet she has blonde hair. He goes, yeah. Eddie, anytime he saw Eddie, all he had to do was see blonde hair. And he was like, oh, shit, let me go check that out. Look at me, he didn't come back. Oh, shit, that was a fucking tranny. Oh, man, that was a dude. That was this and that.
You mean he'll come back the next day? Oh, shit, that was
a dude. No, he don't play that shit. But he would go look. He would go scope it out. Like he was a sniper. He would go scope out. He was looking for the target.
The Hancock. I'm the Hancock.
He was trying to Hancock it out there.
The double cock over here.
We used to have what was called the Fifi bag.
The Fifi bag. Oh,
people
don't
know what the Fifi bag was. We used to sniff coke in those days. We don't do it anymore. I've talked about using drugs in the show. Well, I don't do it anymore. But the thing is this. We used to carry what's called a Fifi bag. You have a bag of coke for your friends, the good shit,
yeah,
the pure shit. You know, we pass around to each other our own shit. Then you have the Fifi bag for the POS.
Like the 1 to 20.
The broads that just want to, yeah. The ones that just want to, you say, yeah, yeah, you got to hit the bro. We put a whole bunch of coke in there. I'd be cut there. So it's cut like a million times. It's like weak shit. You know, you go, yeah, yeah, yeah. They think, wow, this guy's a big sport.
Big baller.
But you're giving them the cut shit. But what's different than pure shit?
Take the bag, go to the bathroom.
Yeah. I remember Davey Moore, who passed away. He was a champion, middleweight champion. He's in the bathroom. Sniffing blow, he goes, hey, you got another pay? She give you another blow, right? Remember that? And he goes, I'm going to knock Hagler out in 2 weeks. Of course, Marvin Hagler knocked him out, but he's in there sniffing coke with us in the bathroom talking about knocking out Marvin Hagler.
Well, yeah, if you're sniffing coke 2 weeks before your boxing match, how about you're this not going to win the boxing match.
Wilfredo Benitez. And how about this one? Wilfredo Benitez, a week before his fight, the same night Jerry Cooney got knocked out by Larry Holmes. Uh-huh. It was on the undercard. He was fighting, I think it was little Danny Red Lopez something. Wilfredo Benitez was sniffing coke like a bandit.
Now,
wait a second, hold on. Let me finish the story. You weren't there. This is 30-something years ago. He's sniffing coke like a bandit. Mm-hmm. So I don't usually bet on fights or anything.
I bet against him?
I bet against him. The biggest bet I ever made on my life, $3,500, that he would lose. He went 15 rounds and barely lost by a decision.
So you won your money, but not
as easy. Imagine this guy was not high. He killed the other guy. But I think it was Danny Lopez.
I was going to say it's actually a pretty good side business to hang out with boxers, get them stuff in coke, and then bet against them.
Oh, dude, we hung out with the best. Mike Dominguez was the mirror king. The mirror king. We used to be at Studio 54. He would be in the mirrors doing shadow boxes.
And have an audience watching them talking about, oh, get in there, get in there. Left, right, hook up.
Yeah, he won the Golden Globes. No, he's a great fighter too, and his sister was a great singer, Brenda K. Starr. From the 80s. Yeah. She was a great singer.
She was a great singer.
I used to babysit her with him.
Okay.
Mike Dominguez. Yeah, he was a great fighter one time though. He was a great fighter.
He was in the Golden Glove. He was a Golden Glove champion a few times,
and he would have been. And I'll tell you who else used to hang out with us. We were talking about him yesterday. Mark Breland.
I just saw him last night, man. He's with Deontay Wilder.
Oh, yeah?
The boxer.
Yeah. But Mark Breland never did no coke. I never seen him do drugs. I never seen him do anything.
He was.
Just like Eddie Murphy. Eddie Murphy would take no drugs.
You know, those are all people that, you know.
His whole crew did.
He can hang out, but I mean.
He can hang out, but he never did drugs.
You know,
Eddie Murphy, I never seen that guy do anything like that.
I think this podcast episode is setting the record for most amount of times our listeners have to go on Google to look up the people you're talking about.
Well, those are the
people. But these are famous boxers, David Ball, the champion.
I know. I'm just saying, if anyone's dedicated to the podcast, they will be Googling all of this.
Well, that's what they should. They should do their investigative reporting, because we don't do none here. We're giving you stories.
We were there. We used to be at Studio 54
with Prince in the dark rooms, right, downstairs basements, up in the attic, where people never even heard of.
Where people, right, models running all over naked in the bottom.
People
of
having sex, including like getting blowjobs from models in the bathroom.
Models
just because you pull out the Fifi bag. It's here. Have a sniff. I'll take care of these balls. We did things like that.
I imagine the models didn't swallow.
They did more than swallow.
Wasn't that too many calories for them?
There was one girl.
There was
this beautiful black girl. I'm not going to say her name. She was in soap operas at the time. And I banged it. You know, I was having sex with her and everything. She's a beautiful, nice girl. But at the time she did a little buzz, she was a famous model. She was on soap operas. And I used to work at the racetrack when I was a kid.
Dog or horse?
Horse. Okay. The racetrack with the horses. I worked taking care of horses. That's why in my house you have all those horse things that run room, the foyer's there, it's got all the statues and everything. And the paintings.
I thought that's because of your horse dick.
No, I have that too. But I have the Richard Stone Reeves in my home and stuff like that. And what happened was, I was with this girl, and then I told her, you know, I used to work at the racetrack. I actually was a trainer. I became a trainer and everything. She told me my father works at the racetrack.
Who's her daddy?
I cannot say, but her father's a guy who I respect so much. And the guy was like such a nice guy. He was, even though I don't believe in God, he was a religious type of guy who like really lived the life of a nice, decent, you know, he was a religious, good person. Okay, just like your mother. She's religious and a great person. I don't believe in it,
but I also believe in they're putting good energy on Earth.
It helps some people.
But I felt so bad that I just banged his daughter and everything. He was sniffing coke with her and stuff. That I felt like a real piece of shit, because I know Alphonse, I was a kid, and I had such respect for this guy. He was such a gentleman.
Right.
So I said, oh, shit. That's like another time I was banging this girl in Arkansas who was a freak. She was a lesbian. And then I'm in Chicago talking about it to the other guys at the racetrack when I worked there. He goes, Bobby, excuse me, can you stop a minute? This guy, Kai, he goes, can you stop? He goes, come here, let me talk to you. He goes, Bobby, I know you don't mean it and everything else. You're my friend and everything else. He goes, that's my daughter. I never had no idea. I never seen him talking to her. Mm-hmm. She worked the racetrack too. This was this guy's daughter. You know what kind of piece of shit? I almost didn't want, every time I saw the guy, I put my head down. I felt like such a piece of shit. But he used to tell stories like that too. But and I didn't know it was his daughter. Right. And he used to go, Bobby, don't feel bad. Stop. He says, I understand. She's a little wild. You know, this and that. But I couldn't do it. I felt like a lowlife because I'm not that kind of guy.
Right.
I would never disrespect. If I knew it was his daughter, I would never have sex with the girl.
Right.
But at that time, we was banging a lot of them.
Speaking of sex parties, the Oscars.
Yeah, well, I don't like what Sean Penn did.
What did he say?
He's Mr. Liberal. He's always talking this and that. But then he said something about the guy getting a green card because he's Mexican. Sean Penn can suck fucking... He got upset when someone made a joke about him. What was that guy? The actor, the good-looking guy there. He was in the Matt Damon movie. He played the good... Matt Damon was following him around and everything. Well, there was a joke done at the Oscars. This skinny guy. He's a good-looking guy. But the thing was this. He got upset about all that. But yet he makes a comment about this Mexican-American who just won 3 Oscars.
Wasn't it his friend?
They offer it. Does it matter? You're making a statement. I don't.
It matters. Like if I say something about homosexuals about you, that's different than just saying something about homosexuals.
No, I understand that wasn't meant like that, but you don't do that on the Oscars because I mean I don't really care. Because I know they're friends.
I'm like Bobby. Can I tell you something, Lord?
Can I tell you something? The director did not care, so he thought it was hilarious.
Right.
Because they are friends.
So as long as the guy that you're saying about thinks it's funny.
Right, but a lot of people got...
Son are idiots.
Offended.
Yeah, they got offended, so fuck them. You're right.
Yeah.
Fuck
them. Okay. User tweets. From Ted Teddy Man this week. If you guys want to hit us up at the PA Pod,
before user tweets, one more thing that he happened to mention. A friend of mine,
John
Blair, who is the promoter. I want to give him a big shout out. He's still the biggest promoter in New York. The greatest parties, John Blair, by far, him and his husband there, Beto, they throw the best parties in the world.
Thanks for the invite. Go on.
Okay. they will let you come in the club. And Eddie was telling me last night that he still has his John Blair card from Studio 54.
That was fucking amazing.
When Stanley Tate owned the place. Remember Stanley Tate, the old guy, the lawyer from Florida? He was the owner. This is after the first part of Studio 54, the second part there, when John Blair started throwing the parties there and stuff. And John Blair still got parties going number one on Saturday nights in New York. So I wanted to give John Blair a shout out. Because he is the great party promoter in New York. I don't have to go to parties too often anymore. We're still friendly, but because I don't go out anymore. And I'm too old. I'm basically too old to go out. Nobody, they look at me like a real creep, which I am.
I mean, you are real. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. That's right. Actually got
we all get at that age.
User tweets. Tweet us the PA Pod. THEPAPOD. We'll read them on air. These are all from Teddy. Teddy says... Hi, this is Ben Rosenfeld for readingisfundamental.org. No, it's not. I fuck up tweet reading every week.
Well, this time you didn't because you must have been rehearsing. You must have been rehearsing this because of that reason, but you do fuck it up every week.
I didn't
for a guy that went
that
to Caltech and is supposed to be so... This guy's a genius. He went to Caltech.
You know why I got that one good, Bobby? Because Teddy used periods in this one where usually it's a fucking run-on sentence.
You mean the guy from Yale would say a run-on sentence?
That's right.
These are these real intellectuals we're talking about here. They're not like me.
Teddy goes on... What is the Chinese government's official pronunciation of the name Bobby Haha? It's Bobby Boo-ha-ha. Translation, Bobby not funny.
Yeah, but Bobby still does pretty well and gets paid to do comedy. What does that Teddy Man do? Lick balls. Licking balls. He all he does is tweet at people at all the different podcasts. He's a podcast fucking, what do you call it?
He's a tweet freak.
Yeah, he's a tweet freak. He's like, there you go, a tweet freak. He's a tweet freak, and that's what we got from Germany. Just put it to the Teddy Man.
Bobby's next one. What do the Chinese mothers of young men Bobby Butt Blasts call him? Bobby Boo How Ha Ha. Translation, Bobby Ha Ha, Bad Boy Dirty.
Well, that's kind of true.
You can go with that one.
Yeah, I'll go with that. I banged a few Chinese boys in my time.
Got a couple more. Bobby can rightfully claim to be the Magic Johnson of gay sport fucking. He also always brags about his shit-detecting pipe. That's magic, too.
I can tell if this got a shitty hole on it. It ain't clean. We ain't fucking with it.
Teddy says, I might have to go to confession because some of these tweets are crimes against humanity, just like Bobby's, quote, love life.
What are you talking about love life? I'm a nice, decent human. I don't have sex anymore.
Last one from Teddy. More business for Bobby's gay camp for straight kids. Then he gives me a link and says, do you make lesbos? Do you train lesbians as well or only in the gentlemen?
Only the gentlemen. We have the lesbian training camp is run by Rosie O'Donnell. Rosie O'Donnell. I think she runs the lesbo training camp.
So the article he links us to, the headline is, I'm gay and I want my kid to be gay too. Lesbian CNN pundit admits she does not want her daughter, 6 years old, to be straight and is disappointed that she is already boy crazy.
Well, can I just tell you something about that? Now, I bang Chinese boys and everything, but my grandson, I don't care what he is, gay, straight, or whatever. I love the kid because he's a kid. Do I want to have more children and grandchildren and great-great-grandchildren? Yes. So I don't care what they come out, straight, gay, whatever. As long as they're healthy and happy, who cares?
How about if they're German?
No, that's something different. Yeah.
How about if they're German?
But your son is good, though. Your son's a good
Thank
kid.
Thank you.
He's a nice kid. He's well behaved.
He's a German American Bronx kid now. He's in the Bronx.
He's a Puerto Rican German American.
He wants to come to the Bronx. He wants to hang out.
He wants to come to the Bronx?
He wants to hang out in the Bronx.
But he's going to school here in the United States, right?
Yeah, he's going in the Bronx.
What school? NYU?
He's going to Mohawk Community College, upstate New York.
Oh, upstate? That's not in the Bronx. It's outside a little bit.
Well, he was in.
Is he staying with your mother, though?
Wings Academy's in the Bronx.
Is he staying with your mother?
He was staying with my mother.
Uh oh, he's going to be good now because Bonnie ain't taking no crap.
All right.
She might be 94, and we give her a shout out to Dolores
Thank
Ketcher.
You. I'll give a shout out to
the greatest of all time. And even his brother Joe. And his brother Joe at 75,
Eddie,
right?
Bobby, ha-ha, and the whole...
Any plugs? Where can our fans catch you? Any shows coming up?
No, shows are coming up in Germany. It'll be a while before
I'll be at the Luftwaffe Luftwaffe Lounge next week.
I'll be at Kookaburra Comedy Club in Germany, in Berlin.
Kookaburra.
I'm Berlin.
Kookaburra Comedy Club.
Yeah, Kookaburra there. Kookaburra. And I'll be getting ready to start shooting my pilot for my new show.
Nice.
So, which I'm creator and direct and producer.
I'm at the Caroline's March Madness tournament tomorrow night.
Oh yeah, you saw that? I'm gonna give Jeff Filipowski, who started all that.
Josh.
No, Josh Filipowski. Oh man, I almost made a mistake. Josh is a good friend of mine for a lot of years.
He has his Broadway one. That's
okay, but Josh is the one that started all March Madness. Someone else stole it at Caroline's there. But Josh is the guy that started all the March Madness in comedy. And let's give Josh Filipowski a big shout out.
Yeah. Anyway, if you
He's the originator.
Anyway, if you like seeing my comedy, but only in 1 minute at a time, tomorrow's the night. 64 comedians, 1 minute each.
Oh, that's perfect.
All right. For Bobby Haha and Eddie, do we have a last name?
Eddie Kesser.
Kesser.
And Eddie Kesser, I'm Ben Rosenfeld. We'll see you next week.
Eddie Kesser from Kessel.
Have a good night. Day,
Kessel from Kessel.
Let me sign off.